Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Hey! Merrily, 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 your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Merrily, 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 your boat gently down the stream.
What the fuck?
Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Hey!
You didn't say merrily correctly.
He said literally.
He said literally.
Like Larry David. Ow.
Count it.
Yeah, it's like Larry. Larry.
Larry. Larry adjacent.
Larry adjacent.
Pretty, pretty, pretty Larry.
All right. A three.
Good afternoon.
I know, mouthful of fucking brisk. Thanks for waiting.
Mouthful of brisk.
You should just spat it at the mic. Like,
oh, it's my mic.
That's the name
I'll
of my.
I'll spill it at his mic.
That's fine.
Let's go again. Ready?
That's the name of my new prog rock album. Mouthful of brisk.
Mouthful of brisk.
Yeah, it is. Oh, that's a good
prog rock.
Wow, that's pretty great. That's a good band name.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
That's a good band.
Mouthful of brisk. Hi guys, welcome to Why Is This a Thing.
Hiya.
How we doing?
I'm Dandy.
Good.
Fine.
Yeah. No context for that opening, right? No need to explain it, right?
I think it explains itself.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. 100%.
You think they know exactly what we're talking
100%.
About?
100%.
Okay.
They've already seen Manos, in fact.
Right. Well, who and hasn't seen Manos?
Exactly.
Everybody has seen Manos.
In one form. Are you talking about the movie Manos or the god Manos has appeared in someone's dream? At
least
or once
just
in your
Manos.
Lifetime, right? Sure.
Everybody has
Manos.
Two.
Everyone has two. I mean,
that's true.
Well,
that's
not,
a good point.
Not everyone.
Dos
Manos. Most people have two. That's a very good point.
Certainly,
Dos Manos. I would say, on average, the amount of hands that people have in the world is probably very close to two.
I have one of my best friends only has one hand, by the way.
Really?
Yep. Okay. He was born without, like.
Does he have, like, a third foot there?
Does he have a third foot?
Do you call him Stumpy?
Is that offensive?
We call we call his hand thing Stumpy. We seriously.
Oh,
do.
You talk to the hand?
Yeah.
Oh, talk to the hand.
He'll, no, like, talk to the stump.
He'll like come up to you and just hit you in the neck with it, and it hurts so fucking bad. Mr. Greg Osanich, he'll be
blast.
Happy that I'm.
Yeah,
giving
put him on. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, he's
that's awesome.
He's happy that I'm giving him the shout out. He would love this.
So, like, are you and all of your friends? Do you all have like special powers now? Because, like, I know you have like the belly.
I
button.
Have the belly.
So hold on. When he buys gloves, did he just buy one and like a small hat?
So, because he used to play lacrosse. I used to play lacrosse with him. And he had this, like, custom-made glove that
yes!
would only wrap around the wrist.
That's
it was
great.
The coolest fucking thing.
Oh,
and basically, like, two of my fingers were able to fit inside
it's like Inspector Gadget.
Yes.
It's like you just add on, like, little additions at the end of the stuff.
That's basically what he is. He's Inspector Gadget, if you met this guy.
So he's definitely, like, a cyborg.
Yes.
Cool.
He has a robotic hand.
Can I meet him? I want to meet him.
Should we bring him on?
Yes. Oh, my God. Could you imagine? It'd be great. We just talk about his arm for an hour. Would he do that?
He probably would.
Would he be open to talking about it? Is he like sensitive about it or what?
No.
Is it bad that we put him on blast on a podcast?
I mean, I'm pretty sure he. Adam just said he calls the arm Stumpy.
Okay.
I don't think he's really on.
Okay, let me. So when we were growing up, people would ask what happened to it all the time, and then me and my younger brother Connor would always say, "Okay, here's the story. We're just gonna tell people because we were always hanging out together." He's like, "If anybody asks, Greg." And if anybody asks us as well, we're just going to say it got bitten off by a beluga whale. Specifically a beluga whale. I don't know why it was a beluga whale, but
I'm
awesome.
Sure you had some comedic answer as to why it was a beluga
no.
whale.
No.
Does a beluga whale have that small of bites? I feel like a beluga whale, if it's going to eat you,
a baby beluga might.
How big is a baby beluga?
Yes.
Okay.
Big enough to bite a hand.
True. Well, you can. I think this I heard on the internet, so it's probably not true, but... Like, if your mouth actually has the strength to bite off a finger of yours.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
With, like, the strength that it takes to bite a carrot.
Yeah.
But
I
your
don't...
brain kicks in and has you not do that because it's obviously reactionary.
No, people have bitten off fingers before, other people's fingers, so I don't see why you couldn't bite your own off.
Mm. I feel like you could definitely bite off your own finger, but I don't believe it's with the strength of a carrot.
Well, no, they say specifically your pinky finger
okay.
is about the same amount of strength as, like, a baby carrot.
I don't see the thing is though, why then isn't your skin just constantly breaking?
Like, why does it take... It takes a lot of force to be able to, you know, to get
it's
cut.
Most specifically the bone in your pinky.
Yeah,
finger.
I think it's the bone and, like, the knuckles and everything will shatter, and then the skin will rip after.
Yeah.
Because when you when you bite, you're just going to keep going through, and then you...
Shit. It's arguably easier to break the bone when you're doing this than to break through the skin.
Yeah.
Because your teeth aren't actually that sharp.
Right.
It's more of a crushing, not really a cutting. Right. If you had a knife, obviously, you would cut the skin.
Sure.
Right?
Sure. Yeah. Wow, this is a great conversation.
Yeah.
but I mean...
No, I... okay, yeah, no, let's bring Stumpy on.
I crushed my pinky finger when I was a kid.
How?
You know, like, weights, like when you're working out, the weights go up when you pull down, right?
Do you stick your hand in the...
I don't know what happened, but for some reason, the weights were actually stuck at the top. I don't know, something was wrong and it was, like, jammed.
How old were you?
Maybe 9. Okay. The weights were stuck at the top, maybe, like, 50 pounds, 100 pounds, I don't know, something like that, were stuck at the top of this machine. And I looked at it and I went, that doesn't look right. I knew it didn't look right.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I'm going to help my dad because my dad's working. I'm going to fix it. So I go to touch it and it just drops like a guillotine on my pinky finger. So I don't actually, to this day, there's still blood stains on my basement staircase.
Jesus Christ.
I was gushing.
Holy what did you do?
I went to the clinic.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a scar on my pinky. There's a scar right there on the middle of my pinky.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow, there is.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was gushing, and we got a towel, and we went to the clinic, and they...
Do you have a cast on it? Did you break anything?
They put a finger cast, one of those things, and they sewed it up.
And it was just crushed, or what? Do you even remember? Like what the actual injury was?
I really don't remember, to be honest. Jeez. Like what? I just remember bleeding.
I mean, it was 12 years ago.
Yeah, I guess.
It was a while ago. Yeah. Jesus. So
did you start to get like pass out or get dizzy?
No, I cried.
Oh boy, I've gotten dizzy from blood loss.
Well, before. I had a friend over.
It's not fun.
or my cousin was over, and a friend had just arrived, and then it happened, and they both had to leave like immediately.
Oh right. Yeah. Yeah
it
yeah,
was
yeah.
like a waste. I think my cousin Justin was over, and I think Thomas showed up.
Like, oh, what an asshole.
And like, yeah, they're like, great.
Had to crush his finger, dick.
Yeah.
I've never had that bad of injuries. The worst injury I've ever had is my foot got gushed open because my brother locked me in the bottom of a TV cabinet. So I decided to break out of the back
kick your way out.
Of the TV cabinet to a...
Oh, did you hit a nail?
Well, there were plenty of nails in the back of the TV cabinet. Somehow I avoided all of those, got out of the TV cabinet, and awaiting me right on the floor outside was a picture frame that I stepped on and gashed my foot open.
You know, you could have just said, I stepped on a picture frame.
But no, it was how I got there. The bevy of things that I survived before I got to the picture frame.
I fought a gang of crocodiles that were trying to get my lunch money.
Right, no, exactly. No, and I fought them all off, and at the end of the day, I stubbed my toe in a door. Like, you know, that's basically what it was. It was the lamest way to, like...
But that's your worst injury?
I think so. And I put the thing that I just remember vividly as though I got the injury, but I didn't, is I put a hole in my brother's head twice. That happened twice, basically. I was responsible for a giant hole right above my brother's eye, like almost blinding him.
Oh, wow.
Because we were running around the house at age, I don't know, 5 and 3, maybe older, maybe like 6 and 4. And we had a giant glass table in the living room. And as I made a sharp turn around the living room, just running laps and laps and laps around the house, he slipped, fell, hit the corner of the glass table right directly above his eye, right on his eyelash.
I've done that.
He has a giant scar to this day, and I just vividly remember a giant hole with blood gushing out of it.
Oh,
I literally did the exact same thing in kindergarten. Under my eyebrow, I have a huge scar. I cracked my head open in kindergarten.
He should be blind right now.
Jesus.
Giant scar right there, got like six, probably more than 6 stitches. And then about a year later, we did the exact same thing.
Yeah. Do you remember my migraines in middle school?
Yeah.
Where I, like, it was like once a week I had to get sent home because I couldn't see out of one of my eyes.
I also kind of remember getting, like, annoyed easily because you'd be like, my head hurts. Like,
yeah. I'm convinced that I did it and got, like, neurological damage.
Yeah.
And probably.
Explains a lot.
And it affects my eyes because it puts so much strain on my eye because I got my glasses in 10th grade and I haven't had a single migraine since. Except that week when I lost my glasses. Mm-hmm.
Oh, Jesus. That reminds me of when Jimmy was a kid. All right, so, you know, Jimmy's very, very, very tall.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Nick's cousin, Jimmy.
Yes, he's been a guest on the show.
Yes,
he is. In the background.
In the background, just doing something.
Just going, ah!
Remember that time he was asleep when we were going?
Yeah, that's what he does. When he was a kid, apparently, he he always used to walk under the table because he, you know, like upright because he didn't have any issues with it. And then one day he just got too tall for it.
Oh,
and
no.
He like would bump his head on the tables all the time. He would like be walking and he'd expect to go straight under the table and he'd hit his head.
Just you just hear like a.
Yes. But it would be like going at like a not like running, but like going at
power
full,
walking.
Full speed walking and just boom.
Yes, like a like a pickup truck going into a parking garage.
Oh yeah,
just hitting yeah, clearance just, right yeah. Yeah, just not knowing what it is.
It's like 10-foot clearance.
Yep.
Truck's 11 feet.
Yep, exactly.
Slice off the top.
Yep. Cool. All right, we're talking about Mano's Hands of Fate today.
Yeah,
that's the name.
I'll
of the show.
Never get tired of those cold transitions. Just anyway.
This is Why Is This a Thing? I'm Nico.
Are you?
Nico?
Did I forget that? Okay.
You're Nico.
I'm Nico. That's
no,
Adam.
No, you're Nico.
Hello.
Nico.
That's Nick Evangelista. That's Zach. Gong Show Month is, or Chuck Bear's Month is long in the rearview mirror. We went through Adam West in memoriam, and now we are going back to some silly shit, as we always do here week after week on Why Is This a Thing? And the film this week is 1966's Manos, Hands of Fate. Before we get into this film, Zach, hit me with some fun facts.
Yes. So normally we do this at the end, but no, because there's a lot of good ones that relate to the movie that I think you guys should know before we all talk shit about the movie, because it's going to happen anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay. So two people got paid for this movie.
Okay.
So, yep, two people.
I definitely counted more than two people involved.
Well, actually, hold on. Let me rephrase that. Two things got paid.
What?
No.
Which dog? Dog got paid?
So, Debbie, who's the daughter in the film, who's the real-life daughter of the guy who plays the master.
Okay.
Wow.
Yep.
She got paid?
She got paid in bike. She got a bike.
Imagine signing that contract.
Hey, kid.
Yeah.
You'll receive $$ bicycle. Right.
Bicycle. She got a bike.
You want a two-wheeler? Come be in my movie.
And then everyone else had stakes in the movie, so they got a percentage of what the film makes.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Clearly it didn't make any money.
I would.
But the other thing to get paid was the Doberman, the master's dog.
Yep.
He got paid in a bag of food.
Oh my god.
Okay.
So
continue.
There you go.
That's fucking retarded.
So throughout the film, Nico mentioned when we started watching the movie that the handheld camera was annoying him.
The Manos held camera.
Might as well put a hole in my head. That's how much of a migraine I was getting.
The entire film was shot with that handheld camera.
Not surprising.
Yep. That one camera?
Yes.
Oh, boy.
The camera was only able to record 32 seconds at a time.
That is fucking hysterical.
And...
Oh, my God.
And could not record sound.
Well, that explains...
That explains all of the whole movie. Yeah.
All of my questions are answered. Yep. That's every single... I think we could... That's all right. You've all been naughty.
Yep.
Wow.
The servant... The actor was on LSD the entire time.
Like, actually?
Yes. Which explains all of his mannerism.
Torgo.
Oh. The actor was on LSD.
No fucking way.
The edit. So the guy who plays the master came out in an interview and said that the editing of the film took a max of 4 hours. Yep.
So I've done podcasts that have taken less time than 4 hours to edit.
Holy yes.
Shit.
Wow. Okay.
Each scene was only filmed twice.
So two takes.
That's shocking.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it wasn't a oneer. Okay.
Well, no, because he said, yeah, we'll do it two times, and we'll take the best parts of each scene, and quote, don't worry, we'll fix it in editing.
Oh, wow.
Fix it in post. Isn't that the greatest phrase ever?
I've learned that is never the way to do it.
Nope.
Yeah. It never works.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll there's one that I need to save till the end.
Okay.
Because it's a plot point.
All right.
Only three people who were involved in this movie went on to do another movie.
Okay. I was wondering about none of the actors. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
it's all like background people.
Yeah. So the one of the editors went on to do one other movie.
How the hell did he get work?
Yep.
It's not really his fault.
The
ultimately, there's only 32 seconds per take. I mean, there's not much you can really do.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just giving you lines, essentially.
There's only 32 seconds per take twice.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
The production supervisor.
Okay.
And the sound supervisor.
What?
Yep.
All right.
Yep. and then the last one before I need to save.
See, in the context of what we just watched, this is kind of hilarious.
Yeah, well, no, that's... I'm like, I need to tell you guys this.
It's so funny because it really does answer every single question you have. I mean, it's that baffling of a movie, yeah. But wow, okay.
And then the last one I can say right now is that... guess who owns and loves their 35mm copy of this movie?
Tommy Wiseau.
No.
Neil Breen.
No.
Matt Lucas.
Quentin Tarantino.
Oh, come
he,
on.
It's yep. one of his favorite movies.
Makes perfect sense.
Yep. What?
Yep.
Does he actually think it's a good movie?
That's about right.
I have no
if
idea.
If I know my Tarantino, which I do, I would have guessed the same thing.
Yeah.
You said but Tarantino liked this movie.
I thought he was more of a foot guy than a hand guy.
Maybe this is why he's not a hand guy.
Scared of hands. He likes the feet.
Excellent point.
Do we think Tarantino saw Manos? Oh wait.
Wait. Yes.
Looks like he did. I think we did say that.
Yeah.
I was gonna talk about how this movie was definitely a great influencer. As we realized.
As we brought up several times.
Yeah.
How
yeah.
so?
I was gonna say it influenced great movies and shows like the Life Alert commercial we talked about. Yep. Star Wars.
Yep.
Star Wars.
That yep. was Darth Maul right there.
Clearly.
Twin Peaks for sure.
You've never seen it, but you're right.
Actually, that's the only one. Yes.
I'm good at these things. And Inglorious Bastards is what I was gonna say. I wrote it down. It's on the paper.
Why Inglorious Bastards?
Oh, because it was clearly.
How can you read that?
Because World War II is definitely based off of this movie, Hitler, the character.
World War II is based on.
Well,
the
character Hitler in Inglorious Bastards was definitely based off of this.
You mean with the I'm gonna say Hitler was based off Hitler.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
Who, like the he's. How can you be based off a character
as
in your own movie?
As inspired by the film, Manos. World War II. I like the book better.
Well, it is historical fact that Hitler was a fictional person, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure.
It didn't actually happen, right?
Well, no.
It's just fairy
none
tales.
Of it. None
fairy
of it
tales, happened. They tell you. Yeah, that's the fairy tales.
All right, we should watch how far we go with this.
Yeah, yeah. That's...
I'll deny World War II, but I'm not going to go any further.
All right, Nick.
There's a statement.
Explain the plot of this film, please, because that was way out of context for everybody. Go
ahead. All right. Okay. So we have a family of four, counting a dog.
Yes.
Man, wife, daughter, and dog, going on vacation.
I'm sorry, but what are your parents cooking? Because it smells amazing.
Oh, I know.
Do you want some?
Starving.
I don't know. Go grab a bite. I don't know.
Nico's not going to eat any of it. Neither will I.
You can have Nico's plate.
You can smell
it, right?
You can
have Nico's plate.
It smells really fucking good.
It does. No, I agree.
Better hope that there's leftovers.
okay, so they're driving, going on vacation, and they get lost in the desert, right?
Yes.
And they stumble upon this the house of... Well, okay, so they're looking for a hotel, and Nico thought this was the hotel.
Yeah, for a while.
For no, like
they
for
had
like,
already established that it's not the hotel. And
like
5 minutes later, he's like,
be.
They're at the hotel.
I didn't think that was the hotel they were looking for. I thought it was another hotel that they
were you thinking of the Hotel
on.
California? After he goes, oh, you can never leave.
Such a lonely place. Such a lonely place. I thought it was like a bed and breakfast that they're like, all right, we'll settle for this.
No. It does.
I didn't think it was just a random residence.
They never said the name in the movie. But it's called the Lodge of Sin.
Oh. Where did you get that from?
What? IMDb.
What?
No, that's not. Some IMDb editor made that up, dude.
Yeah, I know.
That's
I'm
not.
Just saying.
Tarantino wrote that in.
Yeah, no, that is not part of the Manos cinematic universe. That is not part of the larger thing.
I like to believe it.
Yeah.
So they arrive at this house, and it's getting late. They're lost, and they They decide, oh, we're going to stay here tonight. And this guy walks out, introducing himself as Torgo, right?
Yes.
Very the guy who was on LSD, apparently.
The entire time.
And I believe here, what did I write here? I think he looked like a homeless farmer, fucked a cowboy, and the baby they had had, like, Tourette's. That's how I described him. He's stumbling across everywhere.
Tourette's people don't stumble.
No, no.
Tourette's people just yell out swear words.
I didn't want to say autistic.
there are alternate forms of Tourette's, you know. It's not just
yeah, it's not.
Swears.
It's, you can also,
actually, the swear was like the rarest one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, really? It's actually, yeah. It's a lot of it is like clicks.
Like
and
Novus
movements
ticks.
And yeah. Okay, yeah. Stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. The South Park one.
The South Park one is great.
The funniest thing. So he's like stumbling around, falling all over himself. And he basically just tells them, like, oh, the master wouldn't be happy if you stay here. You have a child. Right. The master doesn't
and
like children.
Dog.
And a dog. The master doesn't like dogs.
Which is weird, because the master has a dog.
Right. Yes. So, and then...
do you think he was just trying to protect the daughter and the dog?
I don't think he was trying to protect anyone.
But he wanted... Well,
I have a feeling the master's dog doesn't like other dogs.
No.
Because... Their dog got killed by something, and I'm suspecting it was the master's dog that killed
it. It was the devil dog.
Right. That's my suspicions. We don't really get a confirmation of that.
By the way, Torgo is a perfectly normal, everyday name.
Right.
Yeah.
Along with Michael and Margaret, and then Torgo.
And Torgo. I know seven Torgos. Yeah. My dad's a Torgo.
Not there's anything wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So Torgo eventually concedes and says, okay, you can stay here. And he grabs their bags and bring it in and stuff. And he's creepy as fuck.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, I blame that on the LSD.
Well, no, I disagree. I blame it on the beat you over the head music cues every time they showed his face.
Right. Yes. It was kind of like...
We'll talk about the music a little later.
Yes.
Yeah, it was kind of like almost... It felt like they were trying to do the Wizard of Oz thing, though, where every time the Wicked Witch comes by, it's like...
Yeah.
No, but this was just, how do we show that this figure is brooding and mysterious? Just, let's put some really loud brooding. Let's get some more organ. I need more organ. I got a fever.
Do we think
bring in the theremin.
Do we think Hans Zimmer saw this movie?
Yes.
Yes.
For
Hans
sure.
Zimmer loves this movie. Hans Zimmer.
I love it.
He goes over to Quentin Tarantino's
Hans
house
Zimmer
for movie
joke.
Night.
I'd like to think that Tarantino and Hans Zimmer hang out.
Yeah, they have movie night. Yeah.
Definitely.
And they watch this.
They just watch Manos
on YouTube.
They get the projector out. They gotta dust it off.
All right, brush it off. I know I have some stains here on the film, but it's meant to be there.
It's meant to be there.
Hey, Zimmer, are you thinking what I'm thinking? Manos night.
You, me, pizza, Manos. You down?
That's Manos night.
Uma's included in there, by the way.
Oh, Uma is in. Well, yeah, Uma owns the copy of Manos. That's why. It's the only reason they keep her around.
She's the popcorn wench.
No, Quinn owns the film. Uma has the projector.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Hans brings the food.
That makes sense. That's
we know that.
That sounds like a real event.
That is the greatest movie night in America.
And I bet you they invite each other over Facebook. They make a Facebook event private just for them three.
I bet you like in Hollywood there gotta be once a week. There's gotta be the greatest movie nights in the world.
Oh God, yeah.
It's gotta be like the possibilities are endless. Like I'm sure Tarantino and Rodriguez and Uma and they all get together. And they watch something, and I'm sure Spielberg and Lucas are getting together every week.
Yeah,
I guarantee you to be a fly on the wall of one of these things. What's like the dream movie night?
Like just with the guests?
Yes.
Well, see, okay. Well, I'd want to put in all my favorite actors and directors, and you hate most of them.
Who's Statham having movie night with? Are him and Vin Diesel
Who
getting
is
together?
Statham having movie
Guy Ritchie.
Night with? Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie.
Guy Ritchie's there.
Uh-huh.
I think Ray Liotta's going to show up.
Yes, he is.
Ray Liotta will show up at Statham.
Coked out.
Yeah. Yep.
He's sniffing.
Taking bumps off keys.
Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy?
No.
They're best buds after Spy. Come on.
Oh, man. I think it's more likely Jude Law is there.
Yeah, I was just going to say Jude Law over Melissa McCarthy.
I just think it'd be great if Melissa McCarthy was there. Everyone makes sense. And then
No, she's there. She's not in the house. She's just like, she's outside. It's just raining on her through the window.
With the expression Zach just made, priceless. He looked like a sad puppy.
I miss Mike and Molly.
Oh, oh, Jesus. Okay. That's a good one. That's a good movie night.
Yeah, no. Okay. Anyway, yes.
All right,
Tarantino.
So back to the plot here.
Yeah.
Okay. So they're in the house and they hear a noise outside, right? Disturbing noise in the middle of the night. And so they open the door, he goes to check outside, Mike goes to check outside, and their dog runs out and
why are you getting progressively quieter as you're saying this?
I'm thinking with my big brain.
Look at the big brain on Nick.
And the dog gets eaten.
Well, does it? We don't know really what happens to the dog.
I'm convinced
it's just dead.
It's a dead fluff ball on the ground, a black little fluff ball on the ground.
Yeah.
Who kills the dog?
My guess is the master's dog.
Yeah, we think the Doberman.
Okay.
I think okay, so when he said the master doesn't like dogs, but the master has a dog, my suspicion is that the master's dog doesn't like other dogs.
And we should mention, by the way, that Torgo has referred to the master. He says that the master is not dead in the way that you know.
Oh, yes,
know
yes,
dead.
Yes, yes.
Master's
not dead, not in the way you know.
Well, and he says he's not on this planet anymore, is how he initially says it.
Right, and there's this creepy painting of the master inside with his
butler. Yeah. Even though we come to find
Doberman.
Out, he is definitely on the planet.
Yeah, yes. he's like in the basement.
Yeah, he's there. I mean, it's not like he's not really a ghost.
I mean, their terrors do not stop there with the dog. Suddenly, when they're not, literally, we see it on camera, but when they turn around, their daughter slips out through a door.
Yes.
And they all freak out. We can't find our daughter. We can't find her. And they go outside. And do you want to talk about that smash cut there? Or do you want
to? Oh, this was great.
Oh, yes. This is your favorite part.
This was my favorite part of the movie. it's so hard to explain it on an audio podcast, but I'll try. The two parents say, hey, what's the daughter's name?
Debbie.
Let's look for Debbie. Or let's look outside for Debbie. Smash cut to the two of them huddled together with a flashlight going, Debbie!
Yeah.
Debbie! And that happens a lot in this film. It's like, let's go inside. Inside. Let's go in the kitchen.
Inside.
Kitchen.
Yeah.
Well, No,
they never went to the kitchen.
Right.
The guy runs off screen, comes back 2 seconds later and says, that door's bolted shut.
But it's never established the fact that the doors were actually bolted shut, by the way, right?
They just say it's bolted shut.
Okay. Yes.
They just know that it's bolted shut.
That's some good exposition.
But the edits and the cuts, I mean, to say that this camera only recorded 38 seconds at a time makes so much sense.
Yeah.
It makes absolute, because it really does. That's why it's cut like
this. It just
like
cuts in the middle of things and then picks up again. And there's these long, awkward pauses between dialogue.
Yes.
And it's just...
I don't get the sense, though, that there was much gnat sound going on in the room. Like, because they played this out as though they were filming an actual movie with sound, right? I mean, the actor still had to act.
Well, yeah.
But what do you think was going on in between the silences? I don't think it's just a sound thing, you know?
Do you think they recorded the voiceovers in a booth afterwards?
Yeah,
yeah. No, yeah, no, they absolutely. Totally, yeah, they just went somewhere and redubbed all of the lines.
Okay, I was wondering if they did that or if they were, like... had a separate recorder going at the same time. But
No, they went back and the director actually said it would have been a good comedy if they didn't have to redub it.
I think it works as a comedy just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the woman who plays the wife of...
Margaret?
Yes. Was that her name? Margaret?
Yeah.
Was it Margaret?
The wife with the name.
Yeah.
Not the other six wives.
Yes.
Yeah, she was... mad because all of her lines weren't actually recorded and redubbed by somebody else.
Someone else?
Yeah.
Oh.
So, yes. Let's explain this for people. There's no sound in this movie other than the dubbed dialogue and the background music.
And some folly.
Every now and then.
There's not much folly, but it is there. Slightly.
Yeah.
Like when the hand gets burned up.
When they're driving, the car makes noise. And...
It's mostly, it's like all of the audio It's like 95% speaking, 5% folly.
Yeah.
Like there's, yeah.
But when nothing's happening, nothing's happening.
Yeah. My favorite is Debbie.
Or actually, no, music's playing pretty constantly.
Yeah. Debbie, the 6-year-old girl or whatever, is definitely voiced by a full grown adult.
Yes.
Which is. Yeah, no.
I'm guessing a man.
Maybe.
Probably. It was dubbed by two guys and a girl.
Oh, my
two
God.
Two men and a woman. The whole movie. That was it. Yeah.
The whole movie.
Yeah. So.
Every character. So it's basically an animated movie.
Yeah.
This is one of those examples where it's like everything you think was going wrong with this movie is kind of exactly what was going wrong with it.
Yeah.
It's kind of beautiful.
But to be fair, that was kind of the point that the director wanted to make. Because the director, Adam told us the director made this movie on a bet.
Yeah.
The bet was that he could make a movie with minimal spending on the movie.
Yeah.
So he probably got the cheapest camera he could find, and then was like, oh, we need dialogue. So he hired 3 people.
How does that bet work?
But he wanted to make a competent horror film.
I need to hear the stakes successful that were made on this bet, film. Man. I don't think this guy got good odds, whatever they were. This doesn't sound like a good bet to me.
I forgot.
As we all know, Nico would know about good bets.
He ended up winning the bet, though.
What, it was successful?
No. They showed the movie, and the cast and crew who were at the premiere had to leave because everyone was getting mad and they didn't want to be there when the movie ended. So they left halfway through the movie. They snuck out.
This is a legendary story.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable.
How did he win, though?
I don't know. He only spent $19,000 on it.
That's way too much.
It's way too much, yeah.
I agree.
$19,000.
In 1966.
Yeah.
That's still not that much.
It's too much for this.
Yeah. We could have done this.
Sure, yeah.
Yes. Yes, with modern technology. I mean, but I don't know. With the technology of 1966, maybe. If the 3 of us, or the 4 of us just voiced it and just had a bunch of actors, of course. We're not paying the actors, absolutely. Man, how much money did it ultimately make? Because my understanding of it is when it came out in 1966, didn't make any money, and it's only when Mystery Science Theater 3000 covered it that it ended up like becoming a cult classic.
When I couldn't find how much it made, I don't think it made money.
No.
So how could it be labeled a successful movie?
I don't know. He won. I don't know. See, I generally have no idea, but he won the bet.
He claims he won the bet.
Yes.
He claims he won the bet. This is a Wiseau situation where it's like he claims he made a masterpiece.
Well, in fairness to Wiseau, he got the last laugh with the amount of money that the Room's made.
Yes.
You can't go there's at least one art theater in New York City playing the Room every night. So, I mean, I would call that a classic. Right? Sure. I would call it an unbridled success. What else we got in the plot?
Okay, so following that, they... So they're yelling. What?
Where did we even leave off?
They're yelling outside. Debbie.
Oh yes. Okay.
And their fucking bitch little daughter walks up.
The bitch Doberman. Little daughter.
Bitch little daughter.
She walks from nowhere with a goddamn Doberman.
From the painting.
Yeah.
They make that point.
And she's like, oh, I found the dog. He was just wandering around. Like,
no, she did not say that.
What did she say?
She said, I found him in a big place.
In a big place.
A big place.
And then they're like, what big place?
So they follow her.
Smash cut to the big place.
Yes.
And you find a man wearing black and red robes with the mustache of the master laying down on a, like, stone, like, bed.
Yes. It was like an altar.
Yeah, and then like women just standing up like fast asleep.
They're tied up.
Are they tied up? I don't think they are.
They're
just standing.
No.
They are what?
They were just sort of standing in like in like stasis.
Oh, they're just standing in stasis along these pillars.
But they all seem dead.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like that's kind of the I think it's supposed to be dead.
Right.
But they're not dead.
And they're all just there. Right. And the Doberman is suddenly chained up again.
Right.
Yes.
To which Mike, the father of this family of 3, says, Tordo's got some explaining to do.
Yeah. Yep.
Smash cut to Tordo. What the hell?
Torgo. The fuck is what? This
Torgo.
Shit?
Torgo.
Torgo.
What's going on with the tomb of dead people in the backyard?
You got some explaining to do.
That would not have been my reaction.
Oh, this was a Desi Lu film. Oh, okay. That makes a lot of
sense. Yeah.
I mean, my reaction would have been, let's get the fuck out of here. I mean, I don't know. And they keep saying that, oh, we'll leave right away.
Oh, we'll leave as soon as we can. Oh, the car doesn't work. Well, let's just stay the night. We'll leave first thing in the morning.
Right.
Why? Well, and then even through the night, they're like, oh, we need to leave. Michael's like, yeah, we'll leave. And then they don't leave.
So it's right around, it's right around this time where Torgo gets really rapey.
Yes.
Yes.
Too much rape.
It's definitely
been a while
too
since
much
we said that.
Rape. Yeah. Definitely too much rape.
He takes a liking.
Not
to
enough consent.
The mother.
Yes.
How about
yes
that? Is that our new
her
phrase?
He's fond of
her. Not enough consent.
Not enough consent.
I find your lack of. Okay. Anyway.
Is that the politically correct term for too much rape?
Yes. Too much rape. Lack of consent.
Okay. And he basically goes, the master wants you, but the master can't have you. I want you.
Yeah.
Right?
This is one of the most beautifully awkward scenes in the entire film.
This, to me, explained why the film is called Manos.
Okay, because I still can't quite figure this out.
I can't figure it out.
His cerebral palsy hands are reaching for her, like, shaking all over and just trying to grab her hair.
Okay, Nick, you forget, he's not supposed to be shaking.
He was.
He's shaking because he's hot. Zach, like, the character is just
Zach
supposed to reach out and touch this woman's hair.
I am reporting.
He's hot.
I am reporting what I saw in the movie.
Are you, right? Okay, so are you trying to tell me that this was, like, a visual metaphor? For
I think
the
they got
about
him high.
Yeah.
On purpose. Definitely.
Okay.
I think they... They realized he was the weakest actor in the film, and they decided if we get him high, he'll become the best
he
actor.
He was the weakest actor in the film?
Well, before they were filming, when they were rehearsing.
Because I thought he was the best actor.
Yeah, well, I thought, yeah.
He didn't let me finish my sentence. Yes. They knew he was the weakest, and they said, if we get him high, he'll be the strongest. They got him high.
Method.
It was a yes directorial
a real Daniel
decision
Day-Lewis type
that's right
deal.
Oh, that's right.
So, like, Kubrickian.
Kubrickian.
I think that's how Ledger bit the dust.
Oh!
By the same method.
True.
So,
wow, the level in this room just got really low.
Yeah.
No,
I had to bring up Ledger.
Nobody cared about him before fucking Joker, seriously.
But the way...
Oh, okay, I'm not, okay.
It's weird.
A Knight's Tale?
I mean, he's
Knight's
fine.
Tale was good. I liked A Knight's Tale.
If he died before The Dark Knight came out, people would have been like, oh, okay.
What about Brokeback Mountain?
Exactly.
10 Things I Hate About You.
Exactly.
10 Things I Hate About You. Yeah, that's a...
He's alive, that's one.
I can't say anything about 10 Things. My girlfriend's favorite.
That's
movie,
a horrible so noise. Can you
that's
stop?
Yeah, that's pretty awful.
I don't like the way you gurgle with your belly button, Adam. It's freaking me out.
We are descending into anarchy on this podcast.
So here's the thing about the wife.
Jesus.
She keeps trying. She keeps trying.
Those are all smash cuts.
Yeah. That's... She keeps trying to, like, leave this random residence in the middle of the desert because she's very terrified by it. She even says to her husband at one point, let's leave, I'm scared. And the husband says, no, it's just your imagination, sweetheart. Even though not really her imagination, the guy on LSD is telling her that he has a master who's dead but not in the traditional sense. Not imagination whatsoever.
Who wants her, but he can't have her because... Torgo wants her.
Yeah, no.
Like, yeah, it's not.
But for some reason at this point, when Torgo gets all rapey with her, she's just like, yeah, no, let's just not say anything to Mike and forget this ever happened.
Well, she's very adamant about it, and he's like, oh, I didn't mean anything by it.
Right.
And she's like, okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
Very forgiving. It's like the equivalent of, like, an office Christmas party hookup, where it's like, let's just never mention this again. We got way too much eggnog, and now, you know what I mean? That's basically what it was.
Because,
like,
speaking from experience.
Yeah. Yeah. No, man.
Of watching movies with...
Yeah. I experienced that vicariously through the actors.
So, no, I mean, that's... I don't understand why she didn't leave at that moment. Why, all of a sudden, she had her bonnet on, and she came out of the room, and it's like, whatever.
That was pissing me
off. I would leave my daughter behind and just get out of there.
I know.
No, I wouldn't do that. But she should have. It didn't pay off for her.
No, not at all.
By the way, we forgot to talk about how the opening credits...
I forgot you were...
We're non-existent. Before we get too far ahead here.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that, Adam.
Adam, that's you.
Because I read somewhere about this film that let's just start by saying that when the film picks up, you know, they're driving to this hotel for whatever reason, and you know we get the title with the Manos, Hands of Fate, and then we just get these long, just tracking shots, not really tracking shots, but it's just, you know, the camera's placed inside the car and they're just driving, and they're driving.
Like, it was like when we that scene in Birdemic.
Yes.
Yeah.
When it was just establishing shot after establishing shot.
And it seems to be cutting about once every 38 seconds.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
It is unbelievably long, and you gotta wonder why it's so long. And then I guess it turns out that the intention was to play the opening credits over these long establishing shots, but it turns out I guess they didn't know how to do it, or they just forgot.
They just didn't do it.
Yeah. And so we don't have opening credits, we just have a bunch of establishing shots, which I think that would be a fun game to play with some movies. Take the opening, this is like a great YouTube series, take the opening credits out of movies and see what it looks like. You know what I mean? You just have...
I think I'd watch that.
Yeah, the beginning of The Graduate.
And the music.
Yeah, you just
and
have...
And the music.
I love how you just said that, because I just watched The Graduate.
Yeah, like, no, but you have ago. You have him just like walking or whatever, you know what I mean? Isn't he like going up escalators or something?
He's going on that little like conveyor belt that you just stand on.
At an airport.
At like an airport, yeah. The moving sidewalk.
Right, so all, just you just see Dustin Hoffman just... Cricket, cricket, cricket.
The Graduate without the opening credits.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
It'd be a great YouTube video.
Exactly. But we saw what that looked like in practice here, and it was horrifying.
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
Continue with the plot.
I'm pretty sure... I'm going to skip a few things here, but I'm pretty sure Torgo basically just attacks Mike, her husband, ties him up, and then starts to watch his wife, Margaret, undressing.
Mm. Yes. He takes out Mike, by the way, with one of my favorite movie tropes ever, which is taking a wooden club and hitting them in the back.
And then they're out cold.
How does that work? What has that ever worked?
Nico, can I ask you a question?
What?
Have you ever been hit in the back?
No. It would work on a wooden club. It might work on me.
I've been hit in the back with like a branch, like a giant fucking branch.
And then enough. Did you wake up a few hours later?
Well, I mean,
tied up with a bunch of demon women surrounding you.
Well, we've already
slapping you.
What else would have happened? What else could have possibly happened?
Ow, my back.
I just never understood that never works in movies. Or it never works in real life, it only works in movies.
Yeah, no, it is. It's great.
Thump. All right, keep going.
Around this point, the master wakes up.
Yeah.
Sure. Was it?
Yeah, around, actually, right immediately after this. Yeah.
It was like...
Was it? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like cut between the two scenes.
Okay. Okay.
He literally looks like any of you guys. None of you guys probably ever did. You ever play like Oblivion or Skyrim or any of those games?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. He looks like
what the Skyrim.
He looks like the fucking cult.
Yeah, he does
in those games.
Well, I think it's just like the cult look.
Yeah. It's very
the wild eyes, necromancy, the weird hair,
and the hands robe.
Yeah.
And the giant hands robe.
When he wakes up, he begins chanting to the god Manos. And then wakes up his six wives.
Right.
And the funniest scene in...
This is genuine comedy.
Yeah. Yes.
Brilliant.
He goes, "Awaken my wives."
Smash cut. He's sitting there looking depressed and quiet. And in the background, you just hear all of his wives.
Bickering.
Yeah.
He's like, why the fuck did I wake these broads up?
These broads.
Genuine comedy. I mean, even in 66, man, sexism is always alive and well. Sexism's always funny.
It's great.
At the end of the day.
Have you ever seen In Like Flint?
No.
No.
That's a podcast. That is a fucking podcast. That movie's...
When's that movie from?
What's it from? It's... Oh, God.
When? What year? Do you know? Or approximately?
I think it's like... It's like 68 or something. They reference it in Austin Powers 2. And then I watched it, and I was like, well, now I completely understand, because this movie's the most sexist
Am I missing a pivotal part of Austin Powers 2 if I don't understand the reference?
What part in Austin Powers 2?
Hey, In Like Flint, that's my favorite movie.
Oh yeah!
Come on, guys.
I've never heard that line.
Neither have I. Actually, no. I think
Austin Powers 2 is Goldmember.
No, that's Spike
Shagmi. Shagmi is 2.
Okay, got it.
Wow, brilliant.
That'll save it for Austin Powers Month.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's coming.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Okay, keep going.
So eventually he gets sick of it, and he's like, basically, he's just like, fucking stop, shut up.
Pretty much, I think he yells, like, doesn't he yell?
Quiet!
Yeah.
Quiet! That's about it. Basically,
and then they're not quiet.
Yeah, of course not. Bitches. You ever met a woman?
Women never are.
Hey-o!
In 2017,
just
a bunch of guys.
The year we agreed to not be sexist anymore.
Yeah. That was our goal. No, that was like last year, wasn't it?
I don't know.
It's been a long time since we promised to do that.
We failed 2 years in a row.
Yes, we have.
I don't remember this promise.
I think in fairness, Hollywood has failed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oscar's so male.
Yes.
They have to have a women's only category so they can keep up.
About, no.
Wow. Okay.
Oh, boy.
Hey-o.
Nick Evangelista.
Hey, what's up? I didn't say that. That was Zach.
Not caring what he says since 1995.
That was Zach. I'm going to toss off the sound bites on him.
We'll dub it.
It's like, oh, my God. You just hear, like, Zach's voice all robotic. Hitler was right. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
Okay.
I won't even say what I want to say because I don't want it on the internet even as a joke.
Did you say a juke or a joke? I heard you say juke.
I said joke.
Play that back. Play that back. He said juke.
G-E-W.
All these Hollywood sitcoms and their jukes. I'm telling you, they run this town.
Oh my God! Whoa!
It's like that Wayne. Hold on. No, it's like that Wayne Brady joke from Whose Line. What do you get when you cross a Jew and a gay man? A hit Broadway play.
That's so good.
Anyway,
I think I'm gonna kill my character of anti-Semitic Hollywood like fixer. By the way, that guy's gonna go away. That's the last you heard of. They run this town. All right, that's it.
Okay, good.
And now he's gone.
It's a one-time performance. You had to be there.
Yeah. It'll live on forever, Nico.
Yep. Yes, it will.
They're just gonna play that bit when you're running for president
at his funeral. Yep. Just all this
during my Supreme Court confirmation.
They run this town. I should point out the women were arguing about whether or not they were going to kill the little girl.
Yes.
Apparently Manos declared they were going to kill the little girl, and they were all agreed they're going
to
kill the husband.
I was just about to say, we have to kill the men, but the girl.
But the girl, they're like, well, this is their argument. She's a child. Yes, but she'll grow up to be a woman.
Yes. Yeah. No, that was it. Yeah.
That was their argument.
Pretty much. Scientifically accurate.
Yeah. Gender fluid.
Based in fact. Okay.
Gender fluid.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll let her decide when she comes of age.
Right. Exactly.
Let's not be, assuming your gender already.
Maybe Debbie now, but maybe she wants to be Dennis later. We don't
know. Maybe. Never know.
God.
Maybe Debbie wants to be Dallas.
That's good.
We should look up this actress to see if she's made up.
Old Porto reference on the podcast. Like stay now.
Hey.
You ever seen Debbie Does Dallas?
No.
Okay. Keep going.
Hold on, you have?
This is in El Paso, man.
You have?
This movie was filmed in El Paso. Okay. So, the master, long story short, he basically is mad at the woman who's like, we're not going to kill the daughter. We're not going to do it. We can't do it. And he basically says, like, know your place, woman.
Know your place, woman.
Pretty much.
Basically. Yeah. And he goes after Torgo. They kidnap Torgo and... He's basically getting ready to sacrifice Torgo and this woman, right?
Right.
Wife.
I called
the wife
her.
Who?
Yeah. I called her Broad Number One.
Broad One.
There's Broad One, Broad Two, and then the rest are just.
And Broadway.
Broad One, Broad Two, and then the collective.
Broad Street,
collective,
Broadway.
Collective Broads.
Okay.
The other four don't even have a role. They're just Broads.
We are so sexist today. Oh, my God.
No, I'm.
I blame the movie.
I'm reporting the movie. I'm reporting facts.
Yeah, journalism.
Yeah. So they kill Torgo.
Mm-hmm.
This confused me because why didn't they kill? They didn't kill him.
This scene was sexy.
Didn't.
Can I just say this scene was sexy? All right. When they had that upshot of like the women coming down with the hands, I could just imagine strapping on like a VR helmet and just going to Jerk Town.
Are you?
You know what I'm saying?
Yanksville.
Population one, Nick. Population one.
Wow. One and done, as they say.
Are you going to find this when you go home and just play it on loop?
That's the douchiest thing you've ever said, by the way. You got to go to Jerktown. You are extra, like, sexist morning drive DJ today. My God.
Yeah, he is.
Women, am I right?
It's pretty bad.
Oh, my. Jerktown? Who like are you?
I'm just being a dick.
Are you wearing like a wife beater today?
I like Yanksville better.
Yeah. Where's one V-neck? And all of a sudden, go ahead.
So, okay, well, hold on.
I own a couple V-necks.
Well, hold on. Okay, so this is the fact that I didn't want to say before.
Oh, read okay. it off, boy.
So Torgo isn't dead.
Right.
He's still alive.
He's still alive because if it was successful, the director wanted to make a sequel where Torgo comes back.
Good shit.
Clearly it didn't happen.
With one hand.
With one hand.
Because...
But I was asking you, what the fuck was up with the way he was walking? That, again...
Oh, his knees? Okay.
Okay, so yeah, there's
what was
some,
up with his knees? Was it the LSD?
There was some stuff padded in there too, though.
Yeah. There was they padded like his knees to make him not be able to walk normally. Because they wanted to go with the trope of the evil henchman having some form of
like a limb like, or mouth
deformity or whatever.
Okay.
But they decided against the hunchback because it was too cliche. So they apparently gave him hunch knees. I like a goat.
The hunch knees of Notre Dame.
I don't know, but they literally like it's instead of a hunchback, they fucked up his knees.
It's the directed. It's the direct to VHS Disney sequel. It's the hunchback.
That is
the hunch knees of Notre Dame.
Yep.
Wow, that's good shit.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. I have a larger. So anyway, they kill Torgo.
Well, sort of kill. No, I guess he's alive.
Or they, yes. By just sort of rubbing him sort of stroking his chest.
They sort of slap him and push him around. And then the master takes his hand
and burns
and
off.
Puts it in the fire, the pyre.
Right.
Right. And it explodes and he just has a fiery hand left over and Torgo runs away.
Right.
With his wrist on fire.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. Kind of like Stumpy.
It just popped off like an action figure.
Was it his left hand? Because it was his left hand.
It was his left hand.
Probably.
It was his left hand.
Is that his father? Is that your friend's father?
My dad's Torgo.
Found
you. Nothing wrong with that.
Nothing's on our own.
Yeah, of course. Okay. I have a larger question before we get to the end of
this
movie.
I'll get to the question.
Who the fuck is Manos?
The god of...
God.
The darkness or
the
something.
God thing, yeah.
There's no real god named Manos, right? Are we sure of this? This was made up for the film?
Did you not look this up?
No.
Of course not. That's always my job.
Yes. Well, okay, Manos is Spanish for hands,
I know,
in case that hasn't been clear.
No, I understand that. And there's a lot of hands. Obviously, that's a motif throughout the film. There's a lot of Manos or hands imagery.
Mm-hmm.
Is Manos the god of hands?
No.
He literally says, though, at times, like, the god of darkness. He says things, something along that lines. So, I don't know where
that's
they're going.
That's absurd.
It is
that's
absurd.
That's ridiculous.
It's quite absurd.
All right, what are we going to call the god of darkness in this film? Manos.
No.
Okay. Okay.
It's not a real
god.
I was like, I'm pretty sure this movie is just completely full of shit.
It's not a deity.
Yes.
But I don't know why Manos is really involved. Like, isn't the master enough of an evil, like, force? Do we need the god of darkness to be involved in this?
Was Manos, like, his sustenance? That's
think,
how he gets
yeah,
his power?
It, now... If you know anything about evil sorcerers, you would know that they have a god that
Nick,
gives them
lisping.
Their powers.
You're not lisping.
Well, if you... I can't lisp.
You just go... instead of...
I actually had a lisp as a kid, and I trained myself to not have it anymore, and I can't do it.
Adam,
I gave myself
Adam, what
a
class
lisp
are you?
What class am I?
Yeah.
What?
He's a rogue.
Okay.
I'm like a
rogue.
Thief.
I'm a devil. Kevin Wizard.
Now that was good.
Yeah, I know, right?
That was good.
Are you chaotic good or what is it? What are the classes?
No, you took something and you were like true neutral, weren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah,
true neutral.
True neutral.
What is that?
It's just like
doesn't
apathetic.
Yeah.
It means you don't have sex that often. That's what it means. In
apathetic the... and you don't really you don't actively try to do things because they're good or because they're bad. You just do what needs to be done at that time.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're like a psychopath.
No. That would be like chaotic anything. Chaotic evil or chaotic neutral or chaotic... Probably not chaotic good.
So I'm psychotic? Because I'm chaotic good.
Chaotic good, I was going to say, isn't really...
Yeah. What is chaotic? That's not even... That can't be a thing, chaotic good.
No, it is.
It's the opposite of lawful. So it's like... lawful good means you... will follow the law. You will do what is right
to
the law.
To the letter. Chaotic good is you do good things, but
like Robin Hood.
Jack Bauer.
Okay.
Robin Hood.
Superman, lawful good.
Yes.
Batman, chaotic good.
Got well, it. Neutral. He wouldn't kill someone.
Well.
I mean, he used to. Yeah. All
not,
the fucking time.
Not according to Zack Snyder.
Where's Harvey Dent?
Dead. Oh, shit, he's dead. Ooh, ooh. Oh. Okay.
Leave a mark. Harvey. 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 You all right?
Okay, tell me what
you... Rachel!
Okay, tell me what you see.
Harvey face.
Have you seen this video? Have you seen the no. College Humor Batman video?
Oh, yes, 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 yes. So I'm a bat. I'm a bat.
Have you seen the one... It came out, like, right after The Dark Knight, where it was Batman doing the interrogation scene with the Joker, and he's like... And the Joker's like, I can't understand you. What are you saying?
No, my favorite one is Batman tests out voices.
I've seen that one.
Where were the other drugs? Going?
My favorite is, ¿Dónde están los drugs?
I like the John Malkovich
one. I
wish I could do a good Malkovich impression.
Well, no, in that video, he loses his voice, thus becoming the voice of Batman.
Right.
So he calls Alfred and he's like, I'm coming home. What do you mean, who is this? It's Bruce. Who has this number?
Oh, man. How's this movie end, Nick?
Donde están los drogas?
Oh, man. I almost, like, lost where we are. Yeah. Oh, okay. So, Mike and Margaret are, they're trying to run away.
Right.
Right. And
they finally decide, maybe we should get the hell out of here.
Yeah, and they're running, and apparently the only person in this movie who has legs that work is their daughter.
Yeah.
Because these two are fucking falling left and right, tripping over sand.
No explanation whatsoever. It's not like they were, like, beaten, like Tim Roth in
no,
Funny Games.
No, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
People just trip in horror movies, Nico.
I can't go on, Mike.
Why?
Go
Why
again.
And then she immediately gets up and starts, like, sprinting.
Yeah, yeah.
At the idea of, well, what's their idea that they come up with to stay safe?
Yeah. They would never suspect if we go back to the house. Oh, you might be onto something there.
Yeah, and then they go back to the house.
Yeah. Yeah. And he gets the gun.
That is my favorite piece of horror logic in the history of cinema. They'll never look for us back at the place we were just at. You might have a point.
So you know what? I've never thought about that.
That's a brilliant idea.
It's like that Geico commercial. Where they're like, they're running from like the serial killer, and they're like, should we get in that running car? And the guy's like, no, let's go in that old barn with all the chainsaws. And then they go in the old barn with all the chainsaws, and the guy's like sharpening an axe, turns around and goes, what?
What are you doing? It's funny though. This reminds me of a bit in Rick and Morty when he's saying they're in like a it's like a ripoff of Nightmare on Elm Street and Freddy's coming after them.
Oh,
saying,
yeah.
You can run, but you can't hide, bitch. And they're like, bitch. What if we try hiding? You know, what? Maybe it's reverse psychology. It's like, okay, and then they hide, and he can't find them.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly.
He just gives up.
Yeah, well, I'll try again.
Yeah, exactly, pretty much.
So the master ultimately finds them in the kitchen, right where they decided to go back.
Yeah, right.
He finds them right there,
like right when they walk in the door.
Yeah, much. And Mike shoots the master twice in the head, or apparently in the head, and no bullet goes through his face. He doesn't flinch. Nothing.
Smash cut.
Smash cut.
Two lesbians
driving.
That was crystal clear in the movie.
Definitely
lesbians.
They were practically licking
each
other.
Do you think the maker of Thelma and Louise...
Zach, I already told you.
Ridley Scott saw this movie.
Was the great influencer, I think. I'm convinced.
Is this the Rosetta Stone of film?
Yes. Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Okay.
It is the Rosetta Stone, period.
All right.
It's just...
Ridley
boom.
Scott saw this. It's like... Thelma Louise.
I got it. Adam, why don't you wrap it up, though? Why don't you bring in the ending here? These two women are driving.
Don't pass your responsibility
on
him.
Yeah, no.
I do want to.
Don't pass your responsibility on to him.
Okay, no, hold on.
It's your job.
These two women, they drive up, and they get lost in the desert, and they stumble upon the same house.
Yes.
I feel like Adam's going to do the twist better than I will.
Go ahead, Adam. Okay. He's a filmmaker.
He has the twist. What's the big twist ending at the end? What's the sixth sense ending?
The big twist is that they've taken the husband and basically coerced him onto the side of these asshole Manos demon fuckers. And he introduces...
That's a beautiful sentence.
Yes.
So eloquent.
Yes. And basically he replaces Torga.
He is the new
Torga.
You're
missing the other twist, though.
What's the other twist?
Well,
his wife and his daughter, is that what you're talking about? Yeah, they're basically the new wives. And
His daughter's like tied up at the post. It's
really crazy. This was really fucked weird. Up. The daughter part was.
It's especially creepy knowing that the master, the actor, is the father of the girl playing the daughter in the film.
Uh-huh. Like, I didn't notice it at first, and then I was like, wait, aren't those supposed to be his wives?
Yes, they are.
Oh, boy.
Yes, they are.
She'll grow up to be a woman.
We'll make a good woman out of her one of these days. Yeah. No, very creepy. I actually thought a pretty affecting ending for
The ending was very good.
I like that.
For what is objectively one of the worst movies ever made.
Certainly.
Yes.
This is a horrendous movie. And I here's what I would recommend. If you haven't gotten the full sense of what this movie is, go on YouTube and watch like 5 minutes of it. It's in the public domain.
Any 5 minutes.
They never copyrighted it. The filmmaker never copyrighted it. Let me give this guy a shout out, by the way. No.
Oh, boy.
Harold P. Warren.
Okay, Harold P. Warren.
Yeah, you can actually pick any 5 minutes. That's a good point, Zach.
Yeah, any part in this movie. And you'll see exactly what it's about. And watch 5 minutes of it.
Harold P. Warren never did the copyright. So it's in the public domain. Anybody can use it for anything. And gentlemen, it has been used for something. And I'm talking specifically about the two sequels that have been made about Manos.
Oh,
I don't know how you didn't find this in your research.
No.
Mr. Zachary.
Made by others.
In 2010, a film by the name of Manos, The Search for Valley Lodge, was directed by Rupert Talbot Monk. Senior.
Wait. That name actually sounds familiar.
Munch. Rupert Talbot Munch.
No, it does. Wait, why does that sound so familiar?
Well.
What did he do?
I don't know.
What's his name?
Rupert Talbot.
Talbot.
Munch?
Well.
Is it M-U-N-C-H?
Oh my god. Well, I found our next one. Okay, here we go. he began production on the film. Tom Nyman. Who reprised his role as the master.
He came back?
And his daughter, Jackie Nyman-Jones, reprising her role as Debbie, as well as Diane, and...
Are you saying this was in 2010?
They were initially involved in the filming. WWE star Gene Snitsky was also involved, as well as WWE diva and Playboy centerfold Maria Kanellis, also Celebrity Apprentice contestant.
What?
Yep. Munch himself was going to play the role of Torgo. In 2013, Nyman and Jones left the project after disagreements with the director, and by 2014, the project was scrapped.
Oh, so it didn't come out.
That didn't stop them, though, from making 2013's Manos, The Rise of Torgo. A project to produce a prequel entitled Manos, The Rise of Torgo was undertaken. David Roy was announced as the writer and the director, and the cast members were to include Nyman Jones. As of November 2016, the film is in the final stages of post-production.
Are you fucking kidding
And will me? Be released any day now.
That is horrible.
In addition...
So don't go see Spider-Man.
And by the way, Jackie Nyman-Jones, again, is the daughter in the original film, Debbie. Manos Returns is Jackie Nyman-Jones, who played Debbie in the original film, launched a Kickstarter campaign in February of 2016 to make a sequel to Manos entitled Manos Returns. According to Nyman-Jones, the sequel was not to be a recreation of Manos, but instead a tongue-in-cheek film that is set within the Manos storyline, a.k.a. the Manos cinematic universe. Nyman-Jones described the planned
product... The MCU.
Yeah. Described the planned product as being funny and scary along the lines of Cabin in the Woods or Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein. The Kickstarter goal of $24,000 was reached on February 24, 2016, and filming began thereafter. Again, the film stars Nyman Jones. My God, this woman is obsessed with this film.
Jesus.
Also, Tom Nyman is reprising his role as the master.
He's got to be old now. Really old.
Okay, wait a minute. Let's see here.
Like, Nyman really, Jones really old.
And director Tanja Atomic, what a name, shot the film in Western Oregon, planned to release the film on November 15, 2016, the 50th anniversary of Manos' original release. However, 3 days before the planned release, and with the film in post-production, the release was delayed owing to the unexpected death of Tom Nyman at age 80.
Wow.
So he died right before the release?
Yes. So theoretically, there are two Manos films that are going to be released any day now. There was also a video game adaption, and made in 2012.
Set your Google alerts, guys.
A game based on alerts. A game based on the film was made for iOS, also in the Microsoft Windows and Android app stores.
What? I'm gonna go. Look this is amazing.
Up. This is a very valuable piece of IP, apparently.
I'm going to go ahead and recommend that we rip this and put it on our website.
Uh-huh. I think that's a good idea. We can't get sued.
Yeah, it's free.
What difference does it make?
Yeah.
Yeah, public domain.
So if you guys want to check this out, you know, go head over to TooManyThoughts.com.
There you go.
TooManyThoughtsMedia.com. Mm-hmm. There we go. Or TMT.media.
Sure. And just watch a few minutes of it. Why not? I mean, just to get a sense of what this is, because the editing style and the sound is something to behold.
Editing style.
It is so fucking bizarre, and it is a truly horrendous movie. I mean, we don't do that many horrible movies on this show anymore. But this one is bad.
Here's my ultimate question. Is this better or worse than Birdemic?
Worse.
I have not seen Birdemic, so I couldn't tell you.
Nick, what do you think?
I'm not sure.
I don't know either.
I'm really unsure.
I don't know.
I'm pretty confident that it's worse.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know.
It might just be because Birdemic is like, I think maybe we are more forgiving of this movie because it's so old. You know what I mean? I think there's a degree of that.
Look at Zach's face. He's like,
no, it's worse.
You guys are fucking idiots.
I'm saying it's so much worse.
I think the reason that we're not convinced it's worse is because we're giving it a break.
Well, I'm telling you, it's worse.
I can't imagine Birdemic being worse than this. I really couldn't.
It's close.
I really couldn't.
You know, it's close.
Perhaps Thanksgiving is worse?
No.
I don't know.
Not even close.
What else? Is The Room worse?
No.
No.
The Room is not worse than this.
No.
Is this the worst movie we have seen thus far?
Yes.
I think it might be.
Definitely up there.
Sure. And guys, you're very welcome.
Yes, thank you. This was Adam's recommendation. He brought this to the table this week.
Oh, and by the way, I share the this is the worst film ever with the higher-ups of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah.
They all agreed that Manos is the worst film they've ever seen.
And they would know.
And they would know.
They are the experts on this, on bad movies. So that's fair. Okay. Wow. Anything else, anybody?
No, I was going to say, as always, I mean, any movie that is fully available to stream on YouTube,
please watch it.
Can't be great. I mean,
can't be great. No.
Please watch it, though, guys. Please. It's amazing.
It might be worth your time. Probably not, but it might be, depending on what your life's like.
on a lonely
Friday night.
Okay. We had fun watching it.
Yeah, no. Crack open some beers, have some buddies over, and have like a bad movie night with Manos.
Take a shot every bad cut.
Yeah.
every cut.
You won't make the movie, but...
It's worse than a power hour.
So much worse than a power hour.
You will die if you seriously try to get in every single cut.
You can have a sip of beer every...
A sip, well...
If you had a sip every cut.
Where's the fun
if you want to drink a 12-pack by yourself, sure.
Oh, boy.
It's some good shit.
Yeah.
I can't believe what this woman looks like these days.
Who,
Debbie?
Jackie Naaman Jones.
Is she
with her
hot?
Manos shirt on.
Wow.
Yep.
And she was a kid.
Yep.
And that's her dad.
Yeah.
She's wearing a t-shirt of her dad.
Yep.
Her dead dad.
Yep.
Bizarre.
Had the distinct honor of being Debbie, the child star of Manos, the words
often
referred to as the worst movie ever made.
It's like everybody else moved on.
Yeah.
She was like, it's daddy's project or something.
That's right.
Like,
that's exactly
even though he wasn't even the one who like really made it, he just was like an actor. That's the weird part.
She's fucking weird.
Man. Yeah, the actual guy who made the movie...
Like, moved on.
Hates the movie. He loves it because he made it.
Well, I believe
it's
the only movie he's ever made.
Yes.
There's no other IMDb.
Well, he was an insurance salesman.
Oh, my God.
Way to bury the lead on that one. Hour 5 minutes into the show.
In movie, he was an insurance salesman and said, oh, I could do that.
Well, I mean, if an architect can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's a good point.
Neil Breen, we're calling
you
out. Get on this fucking show.
I just realized I'm going to Vegas soon.
Oh, boy.
Neil Breen lives in Vegas.
Hey.
Interview.
We'll talk about this off air.
Should I reach out to Neil Breen?
We'll talk about this off air. We'll talk about this off air.
Sounds good.
Yeah. I'll fill you in. Awesome, guys. Manos, again, TooManyThoughts.com. No, sorry. TooManyThoughtsMedia.com. TMT.media, the places to go. We are still accepting, not only accepting, we are encouraging little phone interviews with us. We did one today, as a matter of fact, and it went very well. Shout out to Carl, great listener of the show. And if you would like to give any sort of feedback, we want to know what you think about this show. We want any advice you could possibly give us, what you enjoy about it, what you want more of, what you want less of. It was a very insightful chat that we had with our listener today, and we would like for you to be another voice in that little survey project we're doing. So again, get a hold of us. You can email me, nico@2centsradio.com or toomanythoughtsmedia@gmail.com.
Correct.
Yep. Is that right?
Yeah, yep. I check that every week.
There's plenty of ways to get a hold
reach
of
out
us.
To us, any of us on Twitter, on Facebook, Too Many Thoughts Media on Facebook, TMT_media on Twitter.
People were leaving comments on the site this week, as a matter of fact. And that's I check those too. That's a viable way to get a hold of me.
We'll keep a track. You know, we'll get a hold of you definitely within a week.
Yeah.
If you reach out to us any way, for sure. So
just a little phone chat, because we're trying to make Too Many Thoughts the best that it can be. And we're learning, and it's a growing process, and it's we're evolving as people and as hosts, and we're trying. But, you know, there's a lot that we can learn. So anything that you can give for us would be greatly appreciated. Backers is the show that these two do. Movie Hopping.
These two.
Movie Hopping is the show that myself and Adam do.
Connor, you get the shout out. Fine.
What did you guys talk about this week on Backers?
We took the 4th of July off.
Yes.
Okay, good. Took the holiday. I like it. All right, great. We did Baby Driver in review. Check that out on YouTube or on TooManyThoughtsMedia.com.
What are we going to do next, Nico?
Subscribe to it on iTunes. I think there's a friendly neighborhood superhero that needs to be discussed.
I don't know who this one is either.
Okay. Well, I'll fill you in after the show.
Aquaman?
Yeah. Okay. Aquaman movie. We got a screener of it. I think that has to be the next one. So look for a Spider-Man review coming in within the next week and a half or so.
Well, like Spider-Boy, really. Well, I mean,
I know, with this kid.
He's going to learn to become the Spider-Man.
It's weird. I looked at movie times this week. There were only 3D showings. Did you see that?
Really?
I
saw that.
I went on the app looking for tickets, and it was IMAX 3D only.
That's bad.
Yeah, I don't know what to do. Were they not showing it in standard screens?
I don't know. I mean, I looked at because I went to the movies last night, but I went in Wallingford, not
What'd you see?
Not Wonder Woman.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, we did.
And like I looked, and I was excited to see obviously Spider-Man, but it was only the 3D ones.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny. I have no interest to really see it, even though there's been rave reviews. But something about Spider-Man 6 just rubs me the wrong way. Man. The idea that this is the sixth movie they've made.
Fast and Furious 6. Pretty good movie.
Excellent.
Friday the 13th, Part 6. Pretty good movie. And the others suck. So there you go.
Spider-Man Homecoming. Rocky 6.
Or as I like to call it, Iron Man 12.
You like Rocky Balboa?
Yeah.
You do?
That's fine. It's better than Rocky 5.
Well, that's not saying much.
Yeah. Cool, guys. This was fun. Awesome. Subscribe on iTunes. Leave reviews. All that shit. And you all have been naughty.
No. Fuck you.
Okay. Fuck. Now you guys are just shouting it.
Fuck.